Hey Swifties, welcome to a brand new episode of Swiftie School, where together we walk Clown Ilya Street covering the latest news and Easter eggs from our fearless leader, Taylor Swift. I'm your host, Reagan Bailey, and it is enchanting to have you here. Now that we're out of the woods, let's get into today's episode.
It's another great day to be alive at the same time as Taylor Swift, especially if you tuned in to the, might I say, not so Golden Globes, but nonetheless, green was the color of the grass where we used to read at Centennial Park, or we could say, gimme with those green eyes, baby, as let's go down, because Mother herself was wearing the color of envy, the color of jealousy, the color green. Now, I will say this was a little unexpected, but before I get ahead of myself, of course, welcome to this golden episode where we're going to be talking about all things Golden Globes, a full recap of the crazy madness that went down. But I want to first talk about some life updates, some things going on regarding the podcast, my content, if you follow me on social media, and all the things in between, including some updates for Swiftie School. So without further ado, let's get into today's episode. Hello, how are we doing? Are we marinating in January? Are we feeling like it's a new year? How are we doing? I feel like we really jumped in head first to 2024. I don't know about you. I cannot say I don't know about you without feeling and saying I'm feeling without saying 22, but I was not feeling 22. I was in fact feeling like a very organized, mature adult because my top of mind lately has been budgeting, getting organized, creating systems, processes, and all of the things because my little quote or nugget that I will give you for today is nothing changes if nothing changes. Now that could apply to a lot of things, including the commentary of the Golden Globes. But again, I'm getting ahead of myself. I have really just been kind of dialing into creating structure. A lot of you guys want to know, when am I dropping new episodes? Do I have a cadence for that? Yes and no. I record episodes every Monday. So my goal is every Monday night, I send it over to my podcast editor, who's doing an amazing job, by the way. Shout out to her. Send it over to my podcast editor every Monday night. And then it's typically like Wednesday or Thursday sometime that we publish the episode. I've been kind of waiting to nail down a specific day because it's really hard with a lot of the Swiftivities that come up. Like some things are a little more pressing than others. So that's where the Drop Everything Now episodes come in. So if you're new and just tuning in, Drop Everything Now episodes are dedicated to like emergency 911 moments. So if Taylor drops like Reputation tomorrow and I record an episode, I'm not sending it to my editor. I'm just going to go ahead and publish it. So that's kind of the cadence of how things are working. I would love this year, probably after the next couple of weeks or the next like month or two, to tell you exactly what day episodes are going up, but just know they're typically going live on Wednesdays or Thursdays. As of right now, that's how it's working out. Now, in terms of other updates, I've also added blog posts for you guys. Now, I'm going to be adding blog posts for every single episode that goes live. So if you're more of a visual person and you want to maybe read the transcript along while you're listening to the episode or anything like that, you will be able to do that now on my website moving forward. I will post about that when those blog posts are ready. But I'm also posting regular blog posts talking about my life, talking about Swiftivities, talking about fashion, beauty, all of the different things. And I posted one most recently that a lot of you guys were chiming into the comments of the blog post, talking about everything you need to know about the Eras Tour for 2024. I talked about the stage map layout, best practices for taking photos and videos while you're at the show, everything you need to pack in your bag, my recommendations from Amazon, like all the different things. So hopefully you find that to be a really helpful blog post. Make sure you head to my website at reaganbailey.com/blog to check that out. I feel like an advertisement right now, but I feel like I have so many updates for you guys too. Anywho, that's kind of like the overall where I'm at, what I'm doing, how I'm feeling, and all of that stuff. Now, the podcast is almost at 200,000 downloads, which is absolutely crazy. And we're still in the top three podcasts on Spotify for the music category, which is so, so wild to me. So I just have to preface this episode by saying thank you so very much. Eek. I'm so excited. I literally wrote eek on my show notes next to me that I'm looking at. Now, I wanted to welcome everyone that's new. Of course, if you're just listening, kind of how this works is we're going to get through the show notes that I have, everything we're going to talk about, the topic, today's episode, and then we're going to round it out with Swiftie submissions, which today I have not one, not two, but three Swiftie submissions that we are going to be talking about. And if you want to submit anything to the episode, just go to my link in bio, go to the description, send me a DM if you can't find it, or you can go to my website at reaganbailey.com, click podcast, submit to the form anything from Easter eggs, clowning theories, thoughts, questions, topic requests, anything like that. And the last thing I will leave you with before we finally get into the Golden Globes is I am so excited to be adding more guests to the podcast, and I want to know who you guys want on the podcast next. I have a guest already lined up for this month. I am so excited for him to be on it. And if you're over on YouTube, there was two people who guessed it in the comments of my latest YouTube video. So go check out that if you want to see who it is. But without further ado, let's talk about the what I am calling not so Golden Globes. Now, hear me out. I think what I was most excited for when it comes to the Golden Globes is that typically award shows are kind of sleepy, in my opinion. I think they've kind of had their golden age, if you will. Like, award shows just don't really have the same ring that they used to. Thanks to social media, I feel like there's been like a little bit of a resurgence or revival in the excitement surrounding award shows, thanks to kind of just like the quick timeliness of how we can see red carpet moments and interactions on socials. But I think like the overall award show itself and content that comes out of it is just stale, and that's no secret. Now, did I have some sort of grand expectation for the Golden Globes? No. Truthfully, I primarily tune in for the fashion and for the red carpet moments. But I think I was really hopeful and excited, being that there was such a female heavy, you know, we had Barbie, we had a ton of female nominees. And I just think it was like kind of exciting in that sense. And I think a lot of you guys probably resonate and feel the same way. And then obviously we had Taylor Swift in attendance. Now, I feel like what I continue to be frustrated about, and I talked about this where I feel like Spotify kind of bamboozled us a little bit by using Taylor's likeness to kind of promote that whole Global Artist of the Year thing. And honestly, even perhaps you could say Ellie Conway by, like, I don't know if it was Ellie Conway herself, but her marketing team for kind of pushing like Taylor as a part of her book. I feel like that's kind of the case in the feeling that I'm walking away with the Golden Globes. I almost wonder deep down if the category for cinematic and box office achievement, and I'm curious to know your guys' thoughts on this. I'm curious to know if they added that category purely to get Taylor Swift in attendance. And here's why I say that. The category for cinematic and box office achievement was brand new. This is a brand new award that they just added this year. I have no idea when this was added. It could have been before Taylor did her movie or before anybody even knew it was coming. I think that's unlikely. They added this category, and before then, concert films such as Taylor's did not qualify for awards. So, which makes sense. Like, it's mostly focusing on like cinematic productions, and concert films are not that, but I digress. They added this new category in, and then they put in eight nominees. Eight different nominees could qualify for this, whereas all the other awards, I think, were six, like six total things could be nominated, if I'm not mistaken. And I just think it's ironic. Here's the thing. If Taylor did win the category, then people would say, oh, they added this category just so Taylor Swift could win. But now that Taylor didn't win the category, I'm saying the opposite, which is, did they just add this category to take advantage of the fact that Taylor would most likely attend, assuming she would probably win, and drive viewership and drive female audience, which is what a lot of these productions need. People know, I mean, as evidenced by Barbie, women drive consumerism. That's fact. That's just the truth. Like, women, we are the biggest consumers in the market. And so if you can draw in a new audience of females, then you win. So I think that's interesting. Just an interesting fact or tidbit, if you will, that they added that in. Now, that aside, that small conspiracy aside, I mean, the undeniable is that, in the wise words of Taylor Swift, the jokes weren't funny. The jokes weren't funny. And I know there's been so many debates about this online. If you follow me on social media, you know that I put up a video kind of ranting about my thoughts in terms of being a Taylor Swift fan and just being tired. I'm just tired. I mean, I'm tired in two ways. I'm tired simply being a woman, and I'm tired being a Taylor Swift fan, but I'm tired being a Taylor Swift fan. I'm not tired of being a Taylor Swift fan, but I'm tired as a Taylor Swift fan because it's exhausting. It is exhausting constantly having to defend simply enjoying someone's music and the person that they are. I feel like what I've noticed since becoming so public about being a Taylor fan, and I'm curious to know if you guys have had this experience as well, is it's interesting. I don't see men, and I know we constantly keep comparing to men or sports, but I'll say sports fans. If you look at sports fans, they are obsessed. You know, they wear their team's memorabilia, they'll travel to go to games, they'll spend all this money, they'll post highlight clips or reels from notable moments during a game, whatever it is. No different than we do when something happens on tour or something on the red carpet or there's new music or whatever it is, or the same way ESPN commentary people will talk about their thoughts in terms of who deserves to win a championship or who should be on the field or who should be off the field, who's injured, da, da, da. I don't understand why that is so normal. But when a large group of people find enjoyment in Taylor Swift's music or what she does or the type of person she is, that seems to be like the laughingstock. It's just really odd to me. I find it exhausting in like group settings, especially. especially since I'm so public about the fact that I'm a Taylor Swift fan. It's really bizarre to me that I feel it's necessary every time I'm in some sort of like group interaction or setting to defend her. Whereas I don't feel like people who are fans of other artists or other things that they enjoy feel the need to constantly defend them. It's really bizarre. I don't understand it. And I can only imagine how strong of a backbone this woman has really built, because I just don't know how she does it. I don't know how she doesn't crumble under pressure, and not even crumble under pressure, just crack. Like, how does she just sit there and take those jokes? It's exhausting. I mean, even the Taylor joke aside, it's really not that big of a deal. It was an eye roll. I can move on from it. But I just think like the collective undertone of the jokes and poking fun at women is just exhausting. And I think it's my biggest thing for the Golden Globes. And my message is like, know your audience, you know? But on the brighter side, I am hopeful and excited. The Grammys obviously are known for celebrating music. And there's just no denying that Taylor is the music industry. We all know that. We all say that. We all agree with it. She is carrying just innovation on her back. She's changing the way artists are getting paid for streaming through her movement with Spotify a few years back. Like, she's advocating. She pushes new artists whenever she can. She's diversified the openers for her tour to maximize exposure for people. A little fun fact I also recently learned, I saw in an interview with Gayle, Taylor's opener, that apparently, and this of course, Taylor would never say this because she doesn't gloat about these sort of things, but I thought it was so cool, and I've never heard of an artist doing this. Gayle had said in an interview, I'll try to find it if I can, but she had said that what Taylor did was made sure that all of her openers got to play in their hometown. And beyond that, so let's say Gayle, I don't know where Gayle's from. Let's say Gayle's from Los Angeles. Gayle would do a show in Los Angeles. Beyond that, Gayle's guitarist, let's say they're from New Orleans, Taylor would make sure Gayle gets to play a show as an opener in New Orleans so her guitarist would be able to play in their hometown. Like, she went as far as calculating that out down to like the band members and the backup people. And I think that's so, like, someone of her caliber does not have the time to do stuff like that, does not have the bandwidth. And I can't even imagine. I mean, that really speaks volumes. I just think it's really cool. And I wanted to reread this quote from Barbie because I feel like walking away, as disheartened as I was, this quote kind of sums it up all together. And it's from America Ferrera's monologue where she says, quote, "You have to answer for men's bad behavior, which is insane. But if you point that out, you're accused of complaining. But never forget that the system is rigged. So find a way to acknowledge that, but also be grateful." I think that's like the perfect culmination, because so many women are walking away like dealing with the argument of like, it's just a joke. It's just funny. It's supposed to be funny. And I get that. I am the first to admit, I know how marketing works, but we're tired. You know, Taylor doesn't ask for any of this. And me and my mom have been talking about this ad nauseam. Taylor doesn't ask for any of this. She's simply trying to exist. She's simply trying to attend an award show. I mean, can you imagine if Travis was there? I don't think that joke would have hit the same if Travis was there with her. I don't know. I'll leave it at that. That's kind of my thoughts. I could go on for days about this. But as a Swiftie and as a woman in 2024, I can't believe we're still having this conversation. But shifting gears to something a little more exciting, a little bit more bejeweled, a little bit more sequin and green, if you will, I want to talk about this custom Gucci dress. Now, if you watch my prediction video, I kind of predicted we would not see a ball gown for a second appearance in a row at the Golden Globes, being that she wore the Etro blue and gold flower dress moment back in 2020 when she last attended. So this silhouette does not surprise me. I will say the silhouette is pretty much identical to the silver dress, which I can't remember what designer that was. The silver dress that she wore at the Renaissance premiere not too long ago, which was like her last major appearance. Silhouette is very similar, but nonetheless, I think when you're comfortable with the silhouette that works on your body type, I know all too well how hard it is. All too well. To find a silhouette that you feel comfortable in. So I'm sure this is just like a silhouette Taylor really likes and feels good in right now. And obviously she looks incredible in it. So why wouldn't she wear it? But I would love to see maybe a different or more interesting or unique silhouette on her in the near future. Perhaps at the Grammys, we'll see something different. But that being said, it was custom. It was Gucci. She paired it with red bottoms, which, as we know, she is a long, 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 long time wearer of Christian Louboutin, which are the red bottom shoes. I only saw one photo of the green shoes, but it's essentially the exact same color as her dress, kind of like a metallic green colored pointy toe Christian Louboutin. Very simple, very straightforward, which I will say, my mom owns some red bottoms, and she says they are the most uncomfortable shoes that she owns. And I know so many other people have said that. So I'm curious to see what Taylor thinks, if they're comfortable or not. I mean, she wears them all the time, so she must think they're comfortable. Maybe they make them extra comfortable for her. Who knows? But she strayed away from her typical jewelry, which she is very keen on wearing. The jewelry designer, I believe it's Lorraine Schwartz, is the typical jewelry that she's seen in. And last night, or I guess at the Golden Globes, she went full on De Beers jewelry, which is interesting. I'm curious to see if she continues to wear De Beers jewelry. I want to talk a little bit further about her stylist. Her stylist is Joseph Castle Falconer. I hope I'm saying his name right, but I have never heard of Joseph. And I think it's interesting that Taylor has a male stylist, and I was curious to know a little bit more about him. So I hopped over to his website and I copy and pasted here his bio. And I wanted to give you guys some tidbits because I thought we could perhaps try to put together a little bit more about him and see maybe where Taylor connected with him at some point throughout her time in the industry. Now, it looks like he began his career behind the scenes in the recording industry, according to his website, which makes sense. Maybe Taylor met him at some point in a studio or something like that. But I thought it was interesting. He was a director and producer in Nashville. So I'm almost wondering if maybe they have connections somehow through Nashville, or maybe early in her career, and that's how she became comfortable with him. Not totally sure. But regardless, it says that he pivoted from the recording industry and then began styling his own artists for press, album packaging, and videos. Now, this is a wild pivot, in my opinion. I feel like that's the equivalent of someone being like, I was a nurse and then I became a freelance artist. It's like, whoa, 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 what? Like, I understand if you're working in the recording industry, you probably have a good idea of like kind of a look or a vibe of someone, since you have to understand them on an artistic level. But having an eye for fashion, let alone fashion that's going to be highly critiqued, is very interesting to me. I would love to have him on the podcast to just learn more, even if he couldn't speak to his direct connection or work with Taylor. I would love to know kind of more about that pivot, because, I mean, people work for years in the fashion industry and don't have a big break. So the fact that he was able to pivot and then work with clients of such high caliber, I mean, celebrity clients he's worked with include Kerry Washington, Lydia Hurst, Olivia Holt, Maren Morris. He's also designed for film and television and worked on iconic campaigns for Neutrogena, Keds, Coca-Cola. I mean, if you look at the portfolio on his website, it's very robust, and I actually very much enjoy his work. One of my favorite styling moments that he's done is Taylor's cover on, I don't think it's Time magazine. It's a different cover. It's on his website if you want to take a look. I'll try to put it in the show notes for you, but he styled her. She was wearing the ski suit. It was kind of recent. I want to say in the past like 3 years. She's wearing a red ski suit. It's like a blue background. Her eyes are really popping. Then she has a red lip, and her hair is kind of like when it was like the Reputation kind of length. Anyways, says he lives in Los Angeles and he's had the distinct privilege of collaborating with Taylor Swift on a range of products, from character-driven looks for videos to glamorous red carpet moments. So not totally sure how they met. Would love to know that. If anybody has further insight, definitely let me know. I can always try sending him a direct message on Instagram as well. I saw he has a team that he works with, like he has some assistants and stuff. So I might reach out to them if you guys are interested. I mean, I love fashion, obviously, and I think that'd be a really fun crossover moment. Even if his team or him couldn't speak so much to like their direct work with Taylor, I would love to know kind of just that experience of being a stylist in LA, and we could learn a little bit more about his creative process if that's of interest to you guys. So definitely let me know and I will do a little bit further digging to see if we could manifest Joseph being on the podcast, because that would be epic. Now, in terms of the dress, lots of speculation between, is it team debut? Is it reputation? And if you're a Spotify listener, make sure to scroll down on this episode and answer on the poll if you think it's debut or reputation. Definitely curious to know what you guys think. But I did see an interesting image of Taylor and, is her name Keeley or Kaylee Teller? I'm actually not totally sure if I've ever heard her name pronounced out loud, but Keeley is what I'm going to go with. I know her last name's Teller. I think it's Keeley. Keeley Teller, who she attended with. She wore like the teal dress. When both of them were standing together and posed for a photo with like a floral wallpaper behind them, it was very much giving debut vibes. But again, that could totally just be like a random fluke situation. I guess it could be giving debut vibes. I don't know why in my gut, all of a sudden, I'm like, are we getting debut first? I don't know. I also have this other sneaking suspicion that what if Taylor's just like really going to milk this moment and like let the Eras Tour kind of play out for the next year, take a break from re-records and just kind of like ride this wave before she drops anything? I don't know. I think that would be kind of crazy. I'm truly not sure what we have next, and I've like lost all hope in all of our reputation theories. The next date that I will clown hard for is going to be February 16th, but I think we should kind of play out and see what happens on February 4th at the next award show. And I think we'll be able to feel out a little further based on her next red carpet appearance and outfit what the vibe is that we're getting. You know what I mean? Now, shifting gears before we dive into our Swiftie submissions, I want to touch back to Swelsey, if you will, which if you're just tuning in, I prefer Swelsey over Tavis because I just feel like Swelsey is very fun to say. So we're going to switch gears. We're going to talk about Swelsey and we're going to give you the latest update on what's happening with Father. Can we call him Father? I don't know. That feels weird. We're going to call him Travis. What's happening with Travis? What's the latest? What's the 401? Now, I had to bring in Matt for this because I was very confused. We've got the wild card round, the divisional round, the conference championship, and then the Super Bowl. I did not understand the breakdown of this, but I did confirm with Matt the lowdown. So here we go. The next game that the Chiefs will play is happening on January 13th. It is on a Saturday. So that is the next game that they will play. There are 12 total teams playing in the wild card round. And the wild card round is from January 13th to January 15th. So those 3 days, 13th, 14th, 15th, is when all the wild card games will happen. Those 12 teams, whoever wins their game is going to go on to the divisional round. So the Chiefs are going to be playing the Miami Dolphins. They're at a home game at Chiefs Stadium. Those six teams, if the Chiefs move on, are going to the divisional round. The divisional round is happening from January 20th to January 21st. So those 2 days. From there, it'll go to four teams. And those four teams are playing in what's called the conference championship. And then from there, those four teams will be dwindled down to the two teams, and those two teams will play in the Super Bowl, which is happening on February 11th, 2024. So why I bring this up, aside from Travis obviously playing and hopefully winning and moving on to the Super Bowl, is number one, would Taylor be in attendance is my next question. And number two is, would he attend the Grammys with Taylor? And I think this is a bigger conversation to be had because I'm like, after all of these jokes and all of the stuff that Taylor's gone through, does she want to mix work and personal? I mean, I don't know. I'm curious to know if that's something we would see from them this year or in the future, or if perhaps he's going to keep his head down and in game mode until after the Super Bowl, because let's be real, the same argument could be made about Travis. If Travis does attend an award show, goes on to the Super Bowl the next week and loses, people are going to say, oh, well, he didn't have his head in the game. So I feel like it's one of those like lose-lose situations. But I am curious to see, are they going to attend each other's things the next couple weeks? Is she going to be like deep in Eras Tour rehearsals? I don't know. I'm dying to know. Very curious. But that's where I'll leave you in terms of our latest, kind of proud of myself, not gonna lie, on reciting all of that to you. Never even knew a wild card round existed. I also did not know the word cinch existed in NFL terminology, which essentially refers to a team securing a spot in like the wild card round or divisional round. I kept hearing this term being thrown around and I had to ask Matt, I'm like, what the heck is cinched mean? What is cinching? I'm like, is it cinched or clinched? I feel so dumb. Anyways, NFL terminology aside, clearly I don't know what I'm talking about. We need to get into the Swiftie submissions. Now I have three for you, and the first one is going to be from Anonymous. Anonymous says, I'm new to the podcast. Could you give your rankings of the album, your favorite on each, and your 10 favorite songs overall? I would be delighted to tell you my rankings of all the albums. Now, I will give you my top few because it starts to get muddled once it gets lower down. I would say my least favorite album is Red. That is controversial because I do absolutely live, breathe, and die by All Too Well. But it's just not one of my favorites. I would say Red and Debut are probably down there for me. Debut, there are some songs that really hit for me. Like, I'm just a girl trying to find my place in this world. Like, that slaps. I love that song. But there are some others that I'm like, meh, I could do without. And I honestly listen to Debut the least out of all of them. After that, I would probably say Speak Now, Fearless, and Reputation all kind of fall within like the same area for me. I love them. I'm not overly excited by them. And then up in the top five definitely is going to be the competition of like Lover, Folklore, Evermore, Midnights. Who am I missing? I'm missing 1989. I love 1989. I would say those would be my top five. So number one is Forever, Folklore. Number two, Midnights. Number three, Lover. Then probably Evermore. And then 1989. That's so hard. Honestly, because the vault tracks now push 1989 a lot further up. It's tricky because there's certain songs like Evermore I don't love as a whole album wise, but I mean, Evermore Deluxe with Right Where You Left Me. I mean, that song really, I think I could do a whole episode on that song, honestly. Like, Help, I'm Still at the Restaurant, Still Sitting in the Corner I Haunt, Cross-Legged in the Dim Light. That sounds like poetry. I should read it as poetry. I remember playing it for Matt and some friends. We had gone to McDonald's late one night. It was like Matt and his guy friends in the car. And I was like, I'm going to play you guys this song because it's absolutely crazy. They were not amused whatsoever by the lyrics of Right Where You Left Me. But I think that's one of my favorite songs of hers. I digress. In terms of giving you my rankings, those are my rankings on the album and my 10 favorite songs overall. Oh, I'll just list them in no particular order. Right Where You Left Me, All Too Well 10 Minute Version, Last Great American Dynasty, Hey Steven, Welcome to New York, Long Live, Getaway Car, Cornelia Street, and the rest would probably be off Lover. I just can't think of the names off the top of my head. I'm so bad with song names. I can sing any song if you give me like the first two words, but song names I'm terrible at. That's where I'll leave you with that. Now, the next one is from Rose. She wants to know about a theory regarding the new Taylor Nation post with the pink jelly shoes. She is clueless. Now, Rose, I am right there with you. This put me down a rabbit hole. I want to know why Taylor Nation made that post the other day. It was very nondescript of them. It was very elusive, if you will. They pointed to the jelly shoes that Taylor was wearing, which was interesting because when that post came out of Taylor wearing the jelly shoes in the 1989 TV photo shoot, a lot of people commented on the jelly shoes and thought they were iconic, but I feel like it's so random that they just posted that in the middle of like winter, in the middle of like her not posting on social media for a while. I don't know. It's just very weird to me. A lot of people were like, oh, it's pointing towards a Jelly Roll collab, which Jelly Roll is an artist. I did not know who Jelly Roll was until recently. Matt was like, how do you not know who Jelly Roll is? I'm like, I have no clue who that man is. I've never seen him in my life. This one has me stumped. I would love to know if you guys have any theories on this. Please send them to me in the forum. I'm stumped. I honestly don't know. I was like, maybe pink is what it's pointing us to. Talking about feet, walking into the next era. Like all of the theories that I've seen or can come up with are beyond far-fetched. So this one has me clueless as well, Rose, but I want to put it out there into the Swiftdom and see if you guys come up with anything more exciting and we can review it on the next episode because I don't know. You lost me with that one. Maybe it's lyrics. Maybe she talks about jelly shoes in lyrics for the next Vault tracks. I don't know. Anyways, we'll end with Emily. Emily said, what do you think about Rep TV being announced on 1/23? Like 1/23, let's go, bitch. Taylor Nation has mentioned 1/23 a few times. We know Taylor likes... Oh my God, my cat just like... Rocket is here to say hi. Okay, Rocket. You can say hi. What do you think? What do you think about dropping on January 23rd? What do you think about that? 1/23, let's go, bitch. Okay. Go play with your toy. Come on. Rocket brought me this. If you're tuning in to YouTube, he brought me a toy. If you're not on YouTube, I should say, he brought me a toy. I apologize. Emily said, what do you think about Rep TV being announced on 1/23? Like, 1/23, let's go, bitch. Taylor Nation has mentioned 1/23 a few times. And we know Taylor likes her numbers. This is interesting, Emily. I think this has legs to it because they have used 1/23 many times as of recent. The only thing I fear with 1/23 is that it is a Tuesday. I don't know if that makes much sense unless she were to perhaps use it as an announcement day or use it as a day to like point us to like follow more Easter eggs. I could see that being a little more plausible. I like the idea though. I like the idea and I could see more likely maybe a merch drop happening or something on a smaller scale, like a sale on her website or something. I don't know. What do you guys think? Do you think that that's likely? Do you think it's unlikely? I want to know your thoughts, but I want to round it out there for our not-so-golden Golden Globes episode. Praying, hoping, crossing our fingers that the next award show goes off without a hitch. But I hope you guys enjoyed all of my coverage in the broadcast channel. If you are not over on Instagram already, make sure to head over there. Check it out. Join me. Let me know your thoughts. Send me a message, whatever it might be. As always, I am beyond grateful for your support and for being here. And you can always go to YouTube to watch these episodes if you prefer to see my lovely face and my cats while I record these. But as always, it was a pleasure, and I cannot wait to clown with you all throughout the rest of the year. See you on the next one. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. I know all too well how busy life can be, and I am so grateful that you chose to stay. Now just know this is me trying, and I would greatly appreciate if you took a minute to leave a review or maybe share this episode with a fellow Swiftie. Make sure you join my broadcast channel on Instagram for more Swiftivities. And long story short, this love is real, and I'm beyond grateful for your support. See you next time.